This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars, sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Welcome to the March 23rd, 2020, For Your Benefit radio show. We're going to talk about getting the most out of your health care plan. Who better to join us than Tammy Flanagan and Paula Jacob? And Tammy has a company called Plan on Retirement. Tammy and I go back, 35 or better years, Tammy, doing seminars and the like. And Paula
That's
Jacob.
Right.
Yeah. How long, Tammy?
I think we met around 1988.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. And Paula, we've probably known each other 10, 15 years or so through the show. Paula is the Executive Vice President and CEO of American Foreign Service Protective Association. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning. Nice to be with you virtually.
Yeah. And this is a non-shrinking violet show, so everybody listening, strap your seatbelts on. You'll get a lot out of it, and it's good round and robin. So, Tammy, do you want to take the first comment?
Well, I think what we had planned on talking about to begin with is just addressing a little bit about what's this crisis that's going on right now with the virus. So if someone is just recently planning to retire or just recently has retired, they may need to be a little more patient this time with folks that are teleworking, and the schedule of counseling is probably not the biggest priority right now.
And Paul, I bet you've got some counseling in another way with regards to your positions. And it's not only
yes,
you.
Absolutely. We OPM has set out pretty flexible guidelines for all of the federal employees' health benefit program plans. And it's really important to go to your individual plan because we're all doing things a little differently in view of the guidelines. For example, the Foreign Service Benefit Plan has lifted the restrictions on all telehealth visits as long as they're HIPAA compliant. That even includes overseas members, and we have a lot of them. And this is a good way to get their medical care and advice without having to actually go out into the public. But all plans are doing it very differently. Another thing to really look at in the health arena is specialty drugs. And this is a big thing because if somebody is on a specialty drug for cancer or something and they have to go to an infusion site, that can be really scary and tricky. So your plan may very well be able to send a nurse out to do that infusion right at home. And it's something that people in that situation might really want to consider and talk to their plan about. It would be a lot safer. And a lot of the plans are doing other things like lifting the limits on early refills if you have a prescription. So you may need to get those earlier and not have to go out to the pharmacy to get them. They can be home delivered. That's another avenue for people. And other things, if your provider doesn't file for you through their portal, you may want to make sure you have a portal to your health plan so you can file those claims. And of course, it's always good to have electronic funds transfer for reimbursement so you're not having to worry about getting the mail and going to the bank. So these are just a few of the examples that the health plans are working on, and it's really important to go to your individual health plan and see how they can support you in these troubling times.
So what could you tell the listeners that maybe aren't aware that there is something that they can avail themselves of? And you say contact the plan that they may be in. Is there a particular access that they, once they get to the website, where do they go?
Well, I believe that all of the plans have now what they have. The first thing that you're going to see when you get to their website is information on COVID-19 and how the plans are coping with that. So that is first and foremost. And if that isn't available to you, then I definitely would call the plan and talk to one of their representatives, even though there's a lot of the companies that are not in the office. Many of us, our plan included, are 100% telework. So somebody should be able to answer the phone and assist you with the best advice to how to get your health care.
When you talk with the folks in the field, if you will, are they generally aware of what to do or how they can do it, and that you could pass along if somebody's listening and they don't know how to do it?
If they don't know how to do it, yeah, our members are pretty savvy with the internet and getting to their health plan. Trust me, with the number of calls and emails we get on a daily basis, that continues. But if they go to, they can go to the OPM website and look up their individual plan, and that will have the contact information. They can turn to the back of their ID card, and that should have the contact information to get to their specific health plan. So there's different ways to go about it.
Okay, so where do we go next, Paula? We're trying to help the people through the current malady and going forward. I know from prior shows you not only addressed people in the States but outside the States. So the association actually has all the provisions anybody could ask. How do you do it? You're the one who can answer it. So let's deal with the folks stateside first, so to speak.
Sure. We're here's hoping. So open season was in November, and your new health plan took effect in January. So then what do you do? Because your health plan is available to you, and how do you get the most out of it? Besides just filing claims and getting paid your reimbursement. So health plans are much more than that now. And all of the health plans are focused on that personal support, focused on the individual. So how do you get started with that? I mean, how do you start on your journey to better health? And I think the first step you want to take is taking your health risk assessment, which is that questionnaire. Now, again, you need to go to your individual plan's website, and it will lead you through the healthier you. Take your health risk assessment and your biometric screening. And what this does is identifies your health risk, and also then it will provide you with a summary of your challenges. So you can take that and go to your plan, and many plans offer an actual health coach. So you work with that coach, and that coach can lead you to the different programs that your plans offer. You may even get the advantage of having a nurse assigned to you. And this is a great program because that nurse can answer questions on what your doctor orders or whatever, or even connect you with local resources in the States. So this really helps. Like, for example, if you are being discharged from a hospital, the primary thing is that the nurses in the hospital, as hard as they try to give you instructions, it's really hard because they need to get you out of that bed and home. So you get home, and then what do? So that is where a nurse can come in, and many of the plans offer this service free of charge. So that's one way to start.
I know with my business, trying to get my clients to talk to me through a video chat is sometimes not as comfortable for some people as it is for others. So have you had an experience with your plans and using the telehealth for people to contact their physicians or nurses that way? Is that a problem, or are people getting more comfortable with it? Do you know?
Actually, before last month, I would say it is slowly gaining popularity. But now that it's out front and center and it is really being talked about a lot, we have seen a huge increase in our telehealth traffic.
Good.
To the point where my administrator, Aetna, is really pushing to put more doctors available into the video conference arena.
Yep.
So telehealth is a
smart
great
right
option.
Now.
And it's smart. It's safer.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so much more advanced than the nurse line. There are so many
right.
things that these physicians and nurses can do.
And I think so many people are under a lot of stress right now with everything going on, and we're just not sure, you know, how at risk we are. So is that something that someone could call about if they're just feeling not just physically ill, but emotionally? Is that another thing that they can contact for mental health as well?
Absolutely. Many of the telehealth services do include mental health and mental wellness, which is so critical right now. I mean, people are anxious. They are getting all of this information thrown at them. And it's only natural for them to be confused and concerned. And telehealth, Tammy, you make a very good point. Telehealth is a good avenue to work on your mental wellness.
And that's the same number they would call to get in touch with somebody as a mental health provider?
Well, again, you'd have to go to your individual health plan.
Mm-hmm.
And get the number from either their brochure or the back of the ID card or wherever you can find information from your individual health plan.
Yeah, if people are trying to figure out how do I find out what my health plan is doing, I would encourage you to go to opm.gov, the Office of Personnel Management.gov. And when you go there, across the top, you'll find a link to insurance information. And under there, you can find the link to health care. And from there, the last thing you'll need to click on is plan information. So you go to OPM, then insurance, then health care, then plan information. And that's where you'll find a map of the United States. And, of course, if you're overseas, that's going to be your home state that you would click on and find the health plans that are available in your area, and your health plan should be listed there. And that'll give you a link to not only the plan brochure, but also the plan website, where every federal health plan has been encouraged to put information out about what's being done to help handle this crisis that we're in right now.
So, Tammy, you talked about people are maybe be uncomfortable with video and
mm-hmm.
the healthcare provider. A lot of the plans are also offering one-on-one coaching or one-on-one nurse involvement. And that may be a more comfortable avenue for some people. And again, I encourage everybody to go to their individual health plan and call that number that may be care management or wellness resources or something like that, depending on the health
mm-hmm.
plan. So if
yeah,
somebody
good
is,
that that's
isn't
becoming
comfortable
more
with
common.
A telehealth or a video conference, see if the plan offers the one-on-one contact. So that would be a telephone call.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Okay. Okay, Andrew tells us it's time to take a short break, and the sponsor of the show, WEPA, and what the folks can get out of the spot here.
You have life insurance to protect the people you love. As a civilian federal employee, you have two choices designed specifically for you, WEPA and Fegley. The big difference? Price. Chances are WEPA premiums will cost you less. In fact, the average WEPA member saves $375 per year on premiums. Prioritize your peace of mind with a life insurance policy designed for feds by feds. If you're a civilian federal employee interested in comparing WEPA to Fegley, visit waepa.org today. WEPA is a proud sponsor of 4-Year Benefit, presented by NITP, Mondays 10:05 to 11 a.m. on Federal News Network, 1500 a.m. WEPA has been ensuring the future of federal workers for more than 75 years. See why over 46,000 feds have already switched to WEPA at waepa.org.
Welcome back to the March 23rd 4-Year Benefit Radio Show. Very informative. We have Paula Jacob. Paula is the Executive Vice President and CEO of ASPA, American Foreign Service Protective Association, and Tammy Flanagan. Tammy, fellow seminar presenter, and Tammy has a firm. And Tammy, how did somebody contact you, Tammy?
The easiest way is through my website, which is retirefederal.com, and we do provide individual counseling to employees who have just a single issue with their retirement, whether it's trying to figure out what to do about Medicare Part B or some information about pros and cons of claiming your Social Security benefit early versus later. And we also provide comprehensive retirement counseling for someone who's just not sure what to do first, second, and third. We can help with that as well. So we're more than happy to entertain federal employees and recent retirees with any of their individual concerns.
And Paula, the folks that you talk with, do they get cabin fever? The policyholders, and they're working from home, but they want to go out, but they really can't go out. How do you talk them off the ledge?
Well, I'm getting a little bit of cabin fever myself, but our people are used to adversity, and this is a little tough for them because they still have to work, especially our people overseas. While we've medevaced a bunch of people home, many of the embassies are still open. Most of them are still open, actually. So there's a lot of mental wellness exercises that we actually recommend, and that might be very helpful to people. So again, I would look at your individual health plan and see what they offer in especially stress management. These are uncertain times, and people are just anxious. And it's really important that they understand that most of the plans, all of the health plans are there to help. And all they have to do is avail themselves of the programs and services that their plan offers, whether it be individual one-on-one counseling or through the telehealth program, or many of the plans have things that you can do on your PC. That's very private, and you can do it in the middle of the night when some of us need it most.
That's right. Paul, I was going to ask you, with despite everything going on in the world right now, there are many, many people who are suffering from chronic conditions that don't heal themselves just because we have this other crisis going on. So what are some of the support programs that the health plans might offer for someone perhaps who has diabetic issues or heart disease, cancer, all these different things that people need ongoing medical assistance with chronic conditions? What do some of the health plans do to collaborate and help folks who are suffering?
Most of the plants, that's a good question, because you're right. These chronic conditions go on with or without COVID-19. So the plants have worked very hard to provide support programs to these individuals. And each individual plan has several programs because not one size fits all. So again, go to the individual health plan, and many plans have programs specific to high blood pressure or diabetes, tons of support programs. Many will even send you free monitors or free test strips if you have diabetes, if you go into the program. So again, it involves the individual health plan. Now, cancer is a different story. You really have to look at what that's doing to your system and how your health plan can help. And many plans have access to independent second opinion reviews so that they can connect you with the country's top doctors. And as I said at the beginning, chemotherapy and infusion therapy are really important that you keep up with, especially in these times. And many of the plans do offer things like a nurse coming in to give you that infusion. And again, this is all already part of your plan. And another
I think a lot of people aren't aware of these benefits.
I'm sorry, Tammy?
I was going to say, I think it's great that you're bringing this up because I think a lot of folks aren't aware of these. I was at a local National Active and Retired Federal Employees meeting recently, and someone was mentioning the fact that their health plan provided them with a blood pressure monitor. And many of the people in the group had the same health plan and weren't aware that that's even available. So I think it's great that we're mentioning this today so that people can check with their health plan if they have an issue or if they've just been recently diagnosed and maybe can find out what else they can do to help manage their condition.
And it even goes down a little bit into the weeds. For example, many of the plans have a special dietitian available to talk to somebody who's just been diagnosed with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And that they can help prepare that patient for it. For example, if they are taking chemotherapy and they are sick, how do they keep their nutrition up? Very specialized type of medicine. And your health plan may very well help you through that. And many people don't
realize
they have access to that.
Right. And I was going to ask about that, Paula. Do the health plans become aware of your chronic conditions based on your medical claims and then they contact you? Or is this something you have to be more proactive about and inquire with your health plan if you need assistance?
It just depends on the health plan. Now, our health plan is pretty proactive about reaching out to people. But if we don't, then I encourage anybody who has one of these conditions, call us, and we'll make sure that they get to the right person and the right support program for them.
Right.
And if they have another health plan, look on the back of the card, call that 800 number, and ask them where to go.
Mm-hmm. The other thing we've been talking about in past programs when we've been discussing health plans and benefits that sometimes people aren't always aware of are the wellness programs and the incentives that the plans provide to help you stay well. And sometimes those are monetary incentives. They'll give you a gift card or they'll let you go shopping on a specific website. So can you address a little bit about what these wellness programs might be and what specifically you have through the Foreign Service Program as well as an example of how that works and what you have to do to get the incentives paid to you?
Sure. Glad to talk about wellness. All of the plans are really focused on your wellness. And it really is, what does wellness mean to you? Because there's different forms of wellness, and not all of us can run a triathlon. That doesn't mean we're not well. So, again, you start with your health risk assessment. And that will be your initial outline on what you need to do. And then you work with your plan on whether it's, you need to lose a little weight, or you need to bring your triglyceride level down, or your blood sugar level down. And then they have what they call certain healthy actions, that if you do these actions to accomplish your goals, then you're going to get a reward. Now, the days for gift cards are over because everything that the plans do have to comply with the Internal Revenue Code on medical benefits. So your plan may, some of the plans may give you a debit card so that you can use it to buy IRS-approved medical supplies. Or some plans will reimburse you for deductibles or things like that. So it really depends on how your health plan handles these wellness programs. And another thing that's coming up lately is some of the members of all of the health plans are really, really healthy. So what are the plans doing for them to keep them engaged in their health? And all the plans are working at different options and ideas. So I think in the 2021 benefit design, you're going to see the plans really reward people, or at least find ways to reward people who are lucky enough not to have one of these chronic conditions.
Right. Do you know, Paula, has OPM put out their, as they call it, the call letter for 2020 open season or 2021 open season yet, to see what the initiatives are going to be next year and what things they really want the health plans to focus on? Is that one of them? Is
OPM
the wellness incentive?
OPM has put out their, yes, OPM has put out their 2021 call letter with their initiative for the next season. And all the plants now are working on meeting those initiatives. So I'm not sure if they posted the call letter enough right now. But I can tell you a little preview on some of the things that they're interested in is, of course, quality, definitely mental health and substance abuse disorder. They're looking at opioids and what are we doing to help people either prevent them from getting hooked on opioids or getting them off of opioids through different types of solution, whether it be non-pharmacologic, different type of modalities, additional even chiropractor or alternate benefits. So there's lots of things that are going on in that arena. Another thing that OPM is looking at for 2021 is unnecessary diagnostic testing. And looking at, do we really need that specific test? Tobacco cessation, and of course, transparency. So that's just a little bit of preview.
One of the things you were talking about, the opioid crisis and other illnesses, where you may need or want to be able to share information with your family. So is there an easy way to do that? I know we have all the HIPAA regulations right now. So is that something that people need to be aware of? And how do you go about getting that release signed?
So this is another big thing. And in order for any plan to discuss your claim or your specific health issues with another person, doesn't matter whether it's your spouse, your daughter, your brother, your sister, we must have a HIPAA 3 release form. Now, you can get that release form off of your plan's website. And it authorizes your health plan to discuss your information with whoever you deem we can talk to, whether it's your spouse. If we do not have that, we cannot answer the questions. For example, if I called and asked about my husband's claim, without that HIPAA 3 form on file, my plan would not be able to talk to me.
The federal employee listening to this, if they didn't know it otherwise, they can change health care plans each open season. I remember last year when we had somebody from a government agency, and I believe the person that was on the show had developed an issue about midway through open season ending and open season beginning. And the good news is there was a plan to cover it. There wasn't the current individual's choice to be in that plan, but they could change during open season. So it was 6 months that they had to, I guess I could say, endure the cost of that issue. But lucky enough, there was a plan that had a specialty with regards to that, and they were going to take it. And I believe other people listening to the show, we get emails thanking us, especially around that time, because to navigate the choices within the federal healthcare program is tough, because there are so many issues somebody might have, and not everybody's got the answer for it.
Well, I would like to talk about, and it's on the list of things we had mentioned, is the Medicare and FEHB coordination. And with Paula in particular, since you have a lot of folks that are outside of the U.S., what do they need to know about what happens when they turn 65?
So okay, well, that's a good question. So Medicare does not cover medical expenses for when you're overseas. So if you are in that situation, whether or not you have Medicare, you need to file your claim with your health plan, with your fee-for-service health plan. Now, if you are overseas when you're turning age 65, then you still need to enroll in Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B if you choose. Because even if you're overseas and you do not enroll in Medicare Part B and you enroll at a later date, you may be faced with that late enrollment penalty. So I'm assuming that you are overseas and you have Medicare Part A and B, and you're going to, you're on a trip and you have to go to the hospital or go to a doctor overseas. Don't bother to file with Medicare. File directly with your health plan.
And I think one of the things that a lot of federal retirees especially don't realize is that they can just have their federal health plan and choose not to enroll in Medicare Part B. They'll save the premium for Medicare Part B, but I think it can be a little short-sighted because, like you said, Paula, some people will return to the U.S. And if they decide to sign up for Medicare late, they incur a pretty stiff late enrollment premium or penalty that can go on for the rest of their life. So what are some of the pros and cons of taking Medicare Part B when the fact is you don't have to take it?
So that rule does apply to the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program does not require its participants, its retirees, to enroll in Medicare Part B. Not true for TRICARE, but it is true for the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program. So there's a lot of pros and cons. For example, if you have Medicare and your federal health plan, you're virtually 100% covered. Okay. If you're overseas, then your health plan pays just like it normally does. When you're back here, you file with Medicare first, and your health plan ends up taking care of most of the balance, depending on what type of providers you go to. So that's a plus, because we really don't know what our health situation is going to be like in 5 years or 10 years. You know, when a retiree, when somebody retires at age 65 or at age 70 or whatever, they may feel very healthy. But how are they going to feel 3, 4, 5 years from now? People don't like to admit it, but the older we get, the more health care we consume. So what used to be you'd go to the doctor maybe every 6 months, you may be going to the doctor maybe every month or many, many different doctors. And every time you walk into a doctor's office, you're going to have a copay or a coinsurance. So you have to look at the future. And I agree with you, Tammy, it may be very short-sighted. Anybody, you can get Medicare Part B at a later date. If you decide at a later date, whether it's 3 years out, 5 years out, whatever, to get Medicare Part B, the general enrollment period is every year from January to March. But doing that, you have to be prepared for the late enrollment penalty, which is 10% for every 12-month period you did not have Medicare Part B. And it lasts you, like you say, for the rest of your life. So you really need to do the math.
Paula, one of the things you may want to mention is also the special enrollment period for employees who are working past age 65 as well.
Yeah, so there's a special enrollment period. Of course, the initial enrollment period is at age 65. But say you're still working and you don't want to, and you will be working for a couple of more years, and many of us do that. So there is a special enrollment period for those people who retire after age 65, which is, it is an 8-month period after you retire or no longer working or do not have your health insurance through an active employment. And this is a really important distinction to make, especially in the federal workforce, because you're getting your health plans as an active employee under the federal government. Once you move from active employment to an annuity, then you are no longer considered getting your health plan as an active employee. So as long as you are working and you're getting your health plan as an active employee, you do not have to make that Medicare Part B decision right then, nor does your spouse if your spouse is on your health plan. So I get a lot of questions about this for people who are 65 and continue to work, but their spouse is over 65. Or even for people who are 64 or 63, they don't qualify for Medicare yet, but their spouse is retired but is on their active duty health plan. So that special enrollment period would apply to the spouse as well, and it would begin when the employee retires, and then there they have that 8-month period to decide whether they're going to take Medicare Part B. So it's a pretty flexible policy there.
And I think also one of the things that some employees ask about, because we have a lot of what I call federal couples, where a federal employee is married to another federal employee. One of the things that I mention to people is that when one of the spouses is ready to retire, they may want to switch the health coverage to the working spouse that not only will allow them to continue the tax advantage premiums, but also may allow them to delay their Medicare Part B enrollment without penalty.
That is a good option for people, yes.
And I think the reason why we're talking so much about Medicare Part B is that the individual premium for 2020 right now is $144.60 a month, but that's only if your adjusted gross income is below $87,000 if you're single, or $174,000 if you're filing a joint tax return. And fortunately, I guess, for our retirees, some of them do have higher income, which means the premium can go up to $202 or $289, even as high as $376 or above $400.
No, I can say something. Something here. What
oh,
is
sure.
it?
Hi, Bob.
Well, I tell you why I haven't said anything, because we had the hiccups. I figure after we go off the air, we're going to pull those out. And so I just let the people listen to the reason that they listen to the show. But this adjusted gross income, people's eyes glaze when you talk about taxes, but it's actually pretty simple. It's the bottom right-hand number on the first page of your 1040. So without trying to explain what it is, it's really before you deduct your deductions, et cetera. But the better place to look is first page of the 1040, bottom right-hand number. And that's what Tammy was alluding to with regards to the maximums. And that's it. I won't say anything more about taxes.
But I guess while we're on that topic of the higher premiums, a lot of times when someone retires, their income does go down, which means they might incur a lower Medicare premium. So it's good to know that you can appeal those higher premiums if you've recently retired or if your income has gone down.
And Tammy, that is part of the Medicare. It's a qualifying life event, just like what the FEHB has qualifying life events throughout the year. Medicare has it too. And one of the things is the if your income is reduced or you reduce hours. So that is something that if you go to the Medicare website, you can look at how to ask for what they call a redetermination on your Medicare Part B premium.
Right, and there's also a form you can use for that. It's a 44 form. The number of the form is SSA Form 44, called Life-Changing Events. But you can Google that, and you should get the form pop up as well. And Paula, one of the things we wanted to talk to people about is the fear that some people have that they can't find doctors once they go under Medicare coverage. And we've always discussed, and I think you can explain to folks, the different types of providers there are, and basically only the three types. So could you explain that for people so they don't worry about not finding doctors?
Sure. Now, in certain pockets of the country, it may be difficult to or challenging to find a doctor that does participate in the Medicare program. But I will tell you that more doctors are entering into the Medicare program on an annual basis than those who are leaving the Medicare program. So with that said, it really boils down to first making sure that your favorite physician that you've gone to for years maybe does accept Medicare. And then you have to go down and see, well, what does that mean? Because even though there may be thousands of different types of specialists, and there's really just three different types of providers in the Medicare program. Now, the first provider is called a participating provider, and this provider accepts Medicare assignments. What does that mean? What that means is that the provider agrees to treat you and then bill Medicare and then accept what Medicare says is the allowable amount and will not charge you anything above that allowable amount. Medicare then pays 80% of that, assuming that you've met your deductible, which, by the way, is $198, the Part B deductible for this year. And then if you have one of the fee-for-service FEHB plans, whether it's Blue Cross, Foreign Service, APWU, GEHA, any of those, then your health plan picks up the balance, that 20%. So that is a participating provider and how your federal health plan will work with that provider. Then the second type of provider, Tammy, is the non-participating provider. And what that just means is that that provider will bill Medicare, but he or she does not accept the Medicare assignment. They can charge extra, but there's a limit to the amount they can charge you. That's called the limiting charge. So in those cases, the provider will bill Medicare. Medicare will pay the 80% of their approved amount. And then your health plan is, you are responsible for that 20% plus that extra amount. All right. And depending on your federal health plan, they may cover that as well. So your federal health plan is only required to pay that 20%. So again, it depends on your health plan. Some plans will pay that extra amount up to the limiting charge. Some plans will have you pay that. So it's an important distinction, and you need to be aware of that, because it could mean the difference between being fully covered for that expense or you having some out-of-pocket expense. And then the next type of physician are the providers that we call opt-out providers. Now, these providers have decided not to participate with Medicare at all, which means that the patient is responsible for the entire charge. And the plans will not pay any more than they would have paid had you gone to a Medicare physician. And in that case, that means that at most they would pay 20% of the Medicare approved amount, not necessarily what the doctor charges, which would probably be higher. So these are the things that you need to think about and always ask the provider's office about their Medicare status when you make the appointment, so that you know what your liability might be.
Yeah, if you're trying to figure out if your doctor has opted out of Medicare, a couple of things to keep in mind is that only 1% of doctors and providers across the country are in that category. And you can find out if you went to CMS.gov and you can look up the opt-out affidavits, which I've done, and I've found that most of those providers are either obstetricians, which usually don't see Medicare patients, or dental providers, or sometimes mental health providers fall into that category as well.
That's true, and there's lots of reasons for that. So if somebody is looking at making that Medicare Part B decision, and I just want to take one minute to go through this because I think it's important, they have the choice. The most important thing is, are you comfortable with your physician? And if you're comfortable with the provider you have, but that provider does not accept Medicare, they're part of that opt-out category, part of the 1%, not the 1% that we think of, but the 1% of physicians who actually opt out, then if you do not take Medicare Part B and rely on your federal health plan, Remember, as a Fed, nothing changes. So your federal health plan will continue to pay as it always has, mm-hmm. with the same in-network discounts and things like that. And that's just, you know, while it might be another complication, it's also another way that the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program is very flexible for you. So that's something to think about.
Okay.
I'm also going to mention one last thing. Oh.
One thing to think about. We have 2 minutes left.
That's true.
Okay.
The last thing I wanted to mention was that if you're in a health plan and you feel like you need to make a change because perhaps you're paying too much out of pocket or you don't have a good provider that's part of that plan network, if you're retired, you can use the qualifying life event 2L on the health benefit form, registration form, if you're over 65, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to change health plans outside of the normal open season.
Okay.
That's a good point. Just really think long and hard.
All right. We have about 50 seconds to go, right, Andrew? Andrew says yes. So final thoughts? Comments?
Now, one thing I wanted to mention is that I'd like to kind of dedicate this program to a friend of Paula and I. His name is Chuck Newkirk, who we just lost him over the last month.
Yes.
But that's how Paula and I met a few years back. So I want to remember him fondly.
Wow, thank you.
And he would love the program with all the different benefits and stuff. So here's to you, Chuck.
All righty, and here's to you too. I think that's it for the day. Andrew says you better stop talking or you'll be talking to a mic without any volume control. Anyway, thanks, ladies, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WAPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.